Hello, I am Mark Belmont, the guy that did the interview last week for Olympic Resistance Radio in preparation for the Resistance to the Torch relay kickoff in Victoria. I guess I'm here doing somewhat of a report back. I think in like my first interview I was like feeling the vibes of preparations to an event and having all these hopes that may or may not come true about how where it could lead and what could happen. I think like still many of those questions are there. I don't believe in Victoria there is as much of an effect upon the Torch relay as there could have been. There was in fact a march of 300 people that managed to cause the Torch itself to change its route, which is positive for sure in considering what type of march it was, how it was organized and everything. Something that you don't usually find in Vancouver that I saw in Victoria was that people who were just walking by on the streets and saw the march go by were joining up. So like the march was much smaller at the very beginning. Maybe not much smaller, but it was definitely smaller at the very beginning of the march. It grew in size as it went on, like people joined into the march as it went through the city. Something good to see. One of the reasons why I don't think it went as well as it could, and this isn't a discouragement or necessarily an admission of defeat, but there was a very much a feeling of fear in the streets and in many people involved in that due to the police presence. And that fear and that paranoia, it was found to be very difficult for people to see beyond that and to actually reach out for their comrades in the ways that they could have. I mean, that was one of my bases for how we could potentially stop the spectacle and attack the spectacle of the Olympics and the Torch Relay kickoff and the Torch Relay itself, was that we would be there for our comrades. A lot of that didn't happen due to like psychological pressures of the police state that was going on. There was lots of military helicopters, police in the streets everywhere, undercovers following lots of people. One woman who was on her way out to the Torch Relay kickoff on the ferry was arrested and charged with assault of an undercover cop who she was very frustrated with there, which like off the bat, if you want to doubt me whether there were actually police following people, that right there says it. So yeah, like a pretty heavy police presence, a pretty heavy militarized police threat. I don't want that to be a discouragement as the Torch continues to go around, and I don't want that to be a discouragement in general for resistance to the Olympics. I think it's just very important that we keep in mind that we are comrades, and that although the paranoia and the fear is very due, it's important that we see beyond it and we look to our comrades and we don't get caught up in our own like psychological paranoia, our own little cliques, and be afraid to trust others within the resistance.
How would you feel that for other communities that the Torch will be going through could take from this first lighting of the Torch? Like, how do you feel that this first kickoff will affect the advantages of resistance that other communities can take hold of as it passes through in the next 100 days?
Well, they can see that mass mobilizations will at least affect where the Torch goes. It will cause it to... I think we also saw that with the Turin Olympics. They were actually able to surround the Torch, do land occupations that caused the Torch to divert its route. And perhaps that could even step up to actually stopping the Torch. Who knows? I really can't say what type of resources, situation, layout of the city, how close people are with their comrades in other places. So I can't really say for sure. I can't really say like what type of direct example there would be from Victoria as it goes through to other people's communities. I can't say that there's really necessarily a direct correlation. It could be a very different scenario.
I feel like there was other factors than the huge police presence that broke or, you know, fucked the solidarity between people.
I think the main factor is that a lot of people are still just getting used to resisting in larger numbers than they have in the past. And so that it was found very difficult for people to bring themselves beyond what they were used to. I think the main thing all comes down to that people were just very easily scared, I think. I have reason to believe that may not happen again, but we will see. I don't know. I'd like to think that it'll never happen again, but I can't say for sure.
What do you think about the people calling this a victory for the activist against the Olympics?
people that organized their own demo, a march, and perhaps didn't expect that large of numbers to turn up. It's difficult to say what they expected. I mean, I think it all comes out to people's expectations. They had an idea of where the torch was going, and they went to block those intersections, and they succeeded. And so I can see for them, on those terms, it was very much a victory in that very moment. It's just up to what people's expectations are, and people that have other expectations, or maybe had other expectations, weren't able to succeed the same way. And so maybe other people don't think of it as quite the same victory.
Do you feel like with the people that have a common shared like sentiment after about it being like a failure to some degree, who weren't necessarily collaborating with having the disruption be around like blocking intersections and so on and so forth, do you feel like people feel the need to organize outside of this after to create more of a solidarity going into it next time with more force?
I think that's like really a long-term project. And I was hoping that maybe attacking the symbolic event in other ways than what we're used to could bring things in that direction. And so we still have yet to see. I mean, that event was very much its own like 3-day supposed convergence, the 29th to the 31st, with its international call out. And it was all in Victoria. All the plans were in Victoria. So, I mean, there's still lots of time to see these other examples of decentralized action and action more in solidarity rather than typical anti-summit type of action that we see. I feel that, like, when February comes around, we will still be lacking a lot. What we are lacking is just changing away from the anti-summit mode of resistance to more local effects on our communities and be able to draw resistance that way, like maybe you see in other places in the world. But for February 2010, I think myself and many other people, anyone who may or may not have been involved in that Victoria convergence, probably has a much better idea of just what the hell we're looking at here.
What type of consequences about how to organize directly the struggle can be think from this experience?
How to organize the struggle is gotta move beyond these anti-summit type of actions. But I think for these anti-summit type of actions, and in general, we need not to fear so much. Have more trust and care for each other. That's one important lesson that I take from this. And I also have a more detailed vision of what that looks like. I can't speak for other people, though. Mm-hmm. One thing that I did like to see, though, was that there was people, in spite of the fact that we were surrounded by a large number of cops, highly visible, and in spite of the fact that there were police all over the place and there's all this hype about anti-Olympic terrorists and blah, 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 all that type of propaganda, in spite of all that, you found people just seeing the march going by and saying, yeah, I'm gonna fucking spend the next couple hours with those people. Just spontaneously. That was something I was glad to see. I think that's an important thing to take note of.
How do you feel about the fact that this event was around Halloween, therefore people were costumed? Like, do you feel that it had an effect, that there was already like people in costume? Do you feel that it created more paranoia because you didn't necessarily know who was around you? Do you feel it created more room so that less people were susceptible to police oppression or police visibility? How did you live that?
I think on one hand, for some people coming at it from a more direct form of resistance, people that have maybe more experience and more understanding of direct anti-capitalist resistance, there was definitely that paranoia, like you didn't know who the hell had that mask over there, how they got it and whatnot. I also think that there was a lot of people with a lot of different masks and a lot of just random people that showed up with bandanas on their faces. Although this is very symbolic and very like superficial, it was like a tippy toe in the direction of a less like pacifist acceptability of what it is to disrupt the capitalist mechanisms.
Is there anything else you feel like you want to share about this experience or let anybody else know that maybe wasn't necessarily there or people that were there?
And that wants also to organize, you know, in the next 100 days or so.
Yeah. I can say for sure that the cops definitely didn't know or have anywhere near as much control over the situation as people believed in themselves, and that's, it's like so important to realize they don't fucking know everything. They can't fucking do everything. Police entered the march in mass. Well, maybe not in mass, but like a pretty good chunk of them were able to enter the march due to the fact that, everyone was just so scared of, these all-powerful policemen with their guns. The fact is, they weren't riot cops. They didn't have their gear. They were fairly ill-prepared, as far as I could tell, and they're not going to whip out their gun in the middle of a crowd like that. I mean, yeah, it's just one, like one situation, one little example, but it took people way too long to figure out and to gain the strength to actually force those police out of the march. And just, like, don't give the fucking pigs too much fucking credit. Like, what would be the point in attacking the state and capitalism? What would be the point in doing actions in resistance to the Olympics if they were so powerful? There just wouldn't be, and they aren't. We need to keep fighting. And we can't afford to be afraid.
I just wonder as well, in regards to, like, seeing the police presence, and a lot of people I felt were expressing that, like, a lot of this was on their base, that the constraints were confined to, with the people being in solidarity or having fear amongst each other. So I wonder where the place of the legal advisors, like, how did you feel about their presence? Because police didn't have badges, and there were people like David Eby or other people who were like looking out and taking down their descriptions and stuff. Did you feel that was an important role in the protests?
Or? The role of the BC Civil Liberties Association?
Yeah, and the legal advisors.
I think when it's like a mass demonstration that like had been planned, I don't know, it's difficult to say whether that played much of a role. You could also say what also played a role was the fact that it was like definitely over half white people. That certainly, whether you had BCCLA there or not, would have played a huge factor into how the police cracked down upon it. Maybe that's a little cut and dry in terms of like what may or may not have happened. I don't want to say for sure that it was a bunch of professional legal advisors that dictated what the police presence was. We can't rely on legal means.
I think also, like, consider the fact that the police don't know everything, but also, like, increase the level of strategy planning of our actions.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, never always going to the same place where they still looking at us and they are, like, there and, like, many places exist on the road.
Yeah,
that
no,
they cannot control every.
No, I mean, no, that is very true. That is a very good point. But I also want to throw out there that there was still plenty of chances within that place, that high, that police state that we had in fucking Victoria there, that we have every fucking day. We don't have to go out to the fucking bush to talk. We don't have to go out to the bush to fucking do an action. There is fucking cracks right there in that fucking heavy, saturated police state.
More into it, like a material or an actual place too, is do people want to meet on a basis that this is just a pretext? Like you said, it's not the war, it's a battle. So like how in that would people make the links with the environment around them and the environments within in their relationships to carry it outside of just that one place too?
With the demo and with everything, there was like that great fear and paranoia that put a strain on people's relationships to one another. Even, you know, like, pretty solid comrades. But enough of a strain. And not a great strain, but enough of a strain. And we see that in our daily lives. I can't pretend to have the answers as to how to go beyond that, but I don't know, something people gotta keep trying.